running away from people now. 20, 10, and gone. Moniel, 67-yard touchdown run.
I've got reporters' notebooks older than Seth.
Fonte was always soft. Can't win on the road, they say.
DeVito, pop pass, end zone, touchdown, and the ball game. DeVito, in relief, wins it for the Orange.
This is Orange Nation, brought to you by Charles Heating and Air Conditioning with Stephen Fonte and Seth Goldberg.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Alongside Seth Goldberg, I'm Stephen Fonte as we welcome you into a Friday edition of Orange Nation, leading you into the weekend. 315-437-7644 is the number if you'd like to get involved in the program. Just one guest lined up for you today. We'll continue to preview Syracuse and Clemson. Grace Rayner, she covers Clemson football for The Athletic. She will join us at 12:30. The line holding steady, Seth, at right around 46, 46 and a half.
I'm surprised it's held as steady as it has over the week, aren't you?
In what way? Did you think it would continue to go up?
Kind of, yeah.
I feel like 46 is a lot.
Of course it is.
It seems like a good number. I'm not overly surprised. Again, is there a big difference between 46, 48? I mean, what will make more people put money on Syracuse? I guess they've hit their sweet spot with 46 and a half, but it is a tall task, to say the least, for the Orange tomorrow down in Death Valley. That'll be a noon kick, and we'll speak with Grace Rayner about it. It's funny, we were leaving the show yesterday, and we always talk about the following day's show, you know, as we're kind of parting ways at 2 o'clock. And I said to you as I was leaving, you know, how do you want to start the show tomorrow? Should we talk Syracuse-Clemson? And you said, well, yeah, unless the Giants game gives us something to talk about. The Giants game gave us something to talk about. That was an entertaining football game for a couple of bad teams going at it on a Thursday night. That was a fun game to watch.
Yes, it was. It was more entertaining than two bad teams should be. It held your interest long enough. It made me want to sit around and watch for the night, which was good. And then I was disgusted at the end, and I was like, yeah, this makes sense. See, I told Jordan this, and I tweeted this. I tweeted half of this last night. But they go up 21-10, and my initial thought is, oh, my God, they're going to go 5-11 and win the division. Like, that was my first thought. I was like, oh, no, they're going to do this. But then in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, there's still time for them to blow this. And once they gave the Eagles the ball back right before the two-minute warning, I was like, oh, they absolutely lost.
So I feel partially responsible because I have the kiss of death when it comes to games that are in progress as I'm about to go on the air. And if I, you know, say that one team's going to win, inevitably the other team comes back. And so sure enough, the Giants went up 21-10. And so I was at News Channel 9 last night in my office and I was getting ready. I knew the game probably wouldn't be over. We have to wait till the game's over to show highlights. So I didn't think I'd be able to show it during the 11 o'clock show. But I was producing the morning show while I had a few minutes. And so I'm writing about how, you know, a week ago the Giants were 0-5 and, you know, in contention for the number one overall pick in the draft. And now this morning they wake up and they find themselves, you know, 2-5 and in contention for the division title. And I go, you know, I go through my whole script about how
thanks,
the Giants
Steve.
Won the game. And yeah, then I had to change it.
Thanks, Steve.
So I feel partially responsible for making that happen. So I apologize. What upset you the most about that loss last night?
I mean, the defense is just a mess. Like, that's got to be it, right? Like, the defense is just a mess on that team.
You're the fan. I don't know. It doesn't have to be anything.
I mean, they can't stop anybody. Like, there's a lot. The defense is a mess. The team has just been dismantled. I think that's the overarching thing. It bothers me so much. The team has just been dismantled. I'm not saying Damon Harrison is a legit NFL starter now, you know, not saying that at all. He retired in the offseason. But, you know, you get rid of a legit player like that. You get rid of a legit player like Landon Collins, who you just let walk for nothing, and you pick up a worse version of him in Jabril Peppers. You trade Odell Beckham Jr. and don't get nearly enough in return for him. Like, it's just frustrating to watch how they've dismantled the team over the last couple of years. And then, yes, on top of that, I don't think Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback. I don't think Daniel Jones does the things you need. He threw for 180 yards last night on 30 pass attempts. I mean, that's, you know, any quarterback in the NFL can put up the numbers that he put up yesterday. Any quarterback in the NFL. It's where we are in the league. If you look around on any given Sunday, you will see various stat lines that look like what Daniel Jones did. You wouldn't consider much of any of them good. He went 20 for 30, 187 yards, two touchdowns, a pick, a fumble. Like, you wouldn't consider that good in most any way. But you'll see that, what, 7, 8, 9 times on a given weekend? Like, I don't think that's good quarterback play. I don't think that's good enough to win. And you could say, well, they were in a position to win until their defense gave up 12 points late. You're not wrong, but that's not good enough quarterback play to win. The offensive line is a mess. It looks like Andrew Thomas stinks, and he was just the fourth overall pick in the draft. Like, everything just seems to be wrong. Everything.
Got a lot that you're upset about.
Yeah, well, they're just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, to get back to Daniel Jones, you know, he averaged 6 yards per completion last night. And to your point, that's not good enough to win in the NFL, 187 yards. They did not lose this game, though, because of Daniel Jones. In fact,
no, I'm not saying they did, no, but it's not good enough to win necessarily.
I would say, you know, with the game on the line, I wonder how the narrative would be different today if Evan Engram catches that 3rd-and-6 pass.
Oh, yeah.
Because Daniel Jones could not have thrown it any more perfectly, if that's even a correct phrase. That thing was right on the money, right in his arms, and Evan Engram just kind of short-armed it. It looked like he was, you know, hearing footsteps to some degree and bracing for a hit that didn't come.
Well, I think that's also just Evan Engram. Like, yeah. That's the other part of it. Like, and I did not mention that in my long list of things that I have issues with.
He was supposed to be the next, like, Antonio Gates.
Yeah, but when you have a tight end who's shown no proficiency in blocking or catching, and you use the first round pick on him because he ran like a 4.44 40.
He looks the part.
It's questionable.
He looks like
yes.
He's supposed to be good.
Yes, he looks really good, but he's never blocked anybody and he's never consistently caught passes. Like, the time that he's been the most effective is the last couple of weeks as they just flip the ball to him.
So if he, you know, if Daniel Jones were 21 for 30 and for a shade over 200 yards, Engram catches that pass, 2 touchdowns, they win the game 21-16. Because if he picks up the first down there, if he makes that completion, right, essentially the game is over. I mean, there would have been some time on the clock. They wouldn't have been able to kneel down. But with the 2-minute warning, I think the Eagles had 2 timeouts left.
Well, but that play would have taken it down to the 2-minute warning.
Right, and you would have been in Eagles territory. I mean,
first down.
Right, the chances are, I mean, it's... Again, you've won the game if he makes that catch.
And Wayne Gallman was running well enough at the end of the game. I know that you look at the numbers overall and they're nothing great, but like he was running well enough at the end of the game.
He just picked up a first down, yeah.
That you probably extend that drive a little bit.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the game is over if he makes that catch. And so I do wonder what the narrative would be today surrounding Daniel Jones in particular, because again, you look at the final stats, not all that impressive, but if... He has essentially those same stats. He would have had over 200 passing yards if he completes that pass. But they win the game, and he's got 2 touchdown passes, you know, and it's back-to-back wins over divisional rivals. I just wonder how the narrative changes for Daniel Jones.
Well,
and that was not his fault.
No, but there's something that would force the narrative not to change. I told you, I have a mini sound check. You want to?
Yes, go for it.
It's time to get you what you need to hear.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
But we played in some really tough ones over my years, you know, playing at Alabama, and then playing in the Dome at UTSA.
If you want to crown them, then crown their But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Without Jerry McNamara, we wouldn't have won 10 games this year. Okay? Not 10.
Today's sound check on Orange Nation.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips. Going to the end zone and ends up carrying it as it is for 80.
Shotgun formation. Jones fakes it. Now he runs. He's got a huge hole. 25-30. And there he goes. Daniel Jones stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there. Running out of gas. Jones had nothing but green grass in front of him. And that typifies what this has been all about. He is down at the 8.
First to 10 Giants from their own 12, left to right of the radio. Handoff. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles, and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him.
Por tierra otra vez, pero el engaño es con Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones se quiere ir, se puede ir y se fue. No, el balón se cayó, se tropezó, vio la zona festiva y estaba celebrando.
That last one's your favorite one, isn't it?
It is. That and listening to Carl Banks laugh. Carl Banks' laugh is great. That last one, there are only a few things that I recognize. Like, there are only a few words that I pick up. Si se fue, right? Can he go? And then se cayó, he fell. There are only a few words.
And then the
words.
Laughter, of course.
Yes, of course. But there are only a few words there that I could pick out.
None of the announcers could get through that without laughing.
How could you?
I'm surprised it took us 10 minutes to bring up that play from last night. It didn't end up affecting the outcome of the game because they scored on that drive, but that is a play that he may not live down for a very long time.
No, did you see the reaction of the defensive lineman on the sideline? Of course he's not going to live that down. That was incredible. That was incredible. There were a lot of amazing things about it. First off, that he fell like that. I enjoy when professional athletes look like the everyday person because I would absolutely fall in that situation. But here's this stat, because this is amazing. Daniel Jones topped out on that run, running 21.23 miles per hour. That was the fastest he was running. That is the fastest top speed by any quarterback on a run since 2018. Any quarterback. Now, so his top speed this year, 21.23. Tyreek Hill's top speed this year, 21.29 miles per hour. Daniel Jones, as he crossed midfield and then the Eagles 40, was essentially running as fast as Tyreek Hill.
Wow. I just looked up Usain Bolt real quick. Just Usain Bolt, 27 miles an hour. He's in a different stratosphere. So he's no Usain Bolt. But yeah, it seemed like he just, his legs were moving faster than his body could go. I'm sure they got heavy as he got to the 30 and the 20. And I do feel badly for him.
Paulie this morning on the new Twitch show, Dorks with Dorks on Sports, he compared it to the kid who's riding his bike too fast. And all of a sudden, like, you start to wobble and you fall over.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, he didn't really have the presence of mind to look at the scoreboard. I think he was starting to wonder just how.
There was nobody around
nobody
him.
Around
there was
him,
nobody who was going
to
catch him.
He's checking a little bit. He wouldn't need to, needed to check behind him if he had just looked at the scoreboard. But again, he's not used to being in that situation. Running.
I think that's what it was. I don't think it was anything else. I think it was, where is everybody?
Yeah.
I'm not used to this.
And he lost his balance a little bit. He lost his equilibrium. Man, you say there were a lot of things that surprised you about that play. Just how about how wide open it was?
Well, I mean, it's the Eagles.
I guess.
Let's keep into context what all of this is. It was 1-5 versus 1-4-1.
That had the look of the play last week when the referee was the only guy in the vicinity of being able to
tackle somebody,
to tackle one of the Liberty runners on his way to long touchdown run. I mean, that was a similar type of thing, but at least that was a running back,
right? Not your quarterback.
I mean, because he's so quick, hit the hole and he was gone.
Yeah,
I mean, Daniel Jones showed some speed on that play.
Daniel Jones on that run, by the way, and this might be my favorite number from the thing, even more so than he was clocked faster than Lamar Jackson over the last 3 years. With that run, he has more career rushing yards than Eli Manning had. Like in Eli's 15 years.
I mean, he almost ran for 100 yards last night because of that play.
Yes.
Ran for 92.
Yeah, and if he had finished it off, he would have run for 100 yards.
Right, that's true.
It was Giants' first 100-yard rusher in how long?
Yeah, right. And again, it's a shame because I feel like for him last night, and I know that he wasn't terrific, and I know that, you know, the jury is obviously still out on him, but he did enough to win the game. I mean, he did. I mean, he put that ball right where it needed to be for Evan Engram. He drops it again. He had a couple of touchdowns. Turnovers continue to be a problem for Daniel Jones. I saw a stat earlier today. I believe I'm rehearsing it and rehearsing it properly. I believe it was 20 games played, and he has at least one turnover in 19 of them, multiple turnovers in 11 of the 20. So more than half the games he's played, he's turned the ball over. He's personally responsible for two or more turnovers in half of the games he's played.
He has 34 turnovers since the beginning of last season, and that's second only to Jameis Winston.
Yeah. Well, nobody's going to catch Jameis Winston.
No, he's at 35.
35 interceptions.
No, 35 turnovers.
Oh, 35 turnovers, okay.
Yes, so Jones is one behind.
Jones is one behind.
And now, Jameis didn't
play. He hasn't played, right.
But he threw 30 interceptions.
I was
going to
say,
last
year, there was a pretty wide gap between Jameis and everybody else in terms of turnovers.
It's not good.
Which is why he lost his job. All right, 315-437-7644. We can certainly talk some NFL. We'll get into SU Clemson as things roll along. Grace Rayner from The Athletic will join us at 1230 as we continue to preview that game tomorrow down in Death Valley. We're just getting started on a Friday edition of Orange Nation. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
Yes, Syracuse. Right here at 224 Harrison Street, Suite 306. Yes, MedicaidLaw.net. You're welcome.
What if you could drive a 4x4 Jeep this winter for way less than $200 a month? You can at Burdick Dodge Chrysler Jeep in Driver's Village. Lease the bold new 2020 Jeep Renegade Latitude 4x4 for just $179 a month. Just $179 a month with $29.99 down. Rather keep your cash? Lease with zero down payment for just $299 a month. Just $299 a month with zero down for a new 2020 Jeep Renegade Latitude 4x4. Buyers can save over $5,000 off the MSRP with cash allowance when financed with Chrysler Capital. Shop dozens of new Renegade models and over 150 new Jeep models in stock at BurdickDodgeChryslerJeep.com. Then save during Jeep Adventure Days at Burdick Dodge Chrysler Jeep in Driver's Village, Cicero.
Both leases, 36 months, first month payment, tax, and DMV at signing. Security deposit waived, 10,000 miles per year, 25 cents per thereafter. MSRP $28,875. Lease and buy offers for well-qualified buyers through Chrysler Capital. Ends 11-2-20.
See that? That's what it looks like when your son borrows the car and sideswipes a minivan.
No problem. We'll call A&P Auto Parts.
Get parts smart at A&P Auto Parts. Whether you're an insurance adjuster, body shop, or do-it-yourselfer, save money and choose from thousands of premium green recycled parts at A&P Auto Parts. Green recycled parts for foreign and domestic trucks and cars. Remanufactured engines and transmissions. Save money, time, and the planet. Choose A&P Auto Parts with two convenient locations in Cicero and Palmyra. Call 699-4000.
Sam Rogers will be a strong advocate for Central New York and Albany. Sam is a champion for justice and equality, taking up the case for the people of Central New York. Sam fights for victims in court and mentors young people through the Syracuse City Schools.
I'm Sam Rogers. As a mentor, I help our youth find opportunities for growth. As an assistant district attorney, I seek justice for New York residents daily. And as your state senator, I will do the same on the Senate floor.
This election, vote Sam Rogers for New York State Senate.
Paid for by Sam for Senate.
WTLA North Syracuse, WSGO Oswego, W249BC Mattydale, W261AC Oswego, WTKWHD2 Bridgeport, ESPN Radio. On Twitch, Q Sports Talk, and ESPN Radio 97.7 and 100.1.
Running away from people now, 20, 10, and gone. O'Neal, 67-yard touchdown run.
I've got reporters' notebooks older than Seth.
Soaring through the air, high-flying Slovakian.
Vontae was always soft. Can't win on the road, they say.
DeVito, pop pass, end zone, touchdown, and the ball game. DeVito, in relief, wins it for the Orange.
This is Orange Nation, brought to you by Charles Heating and Air Conditioning with Stephen Fonte and Seth Goldberg.
Hour number two of Orange Nation underway on ESPN Radio, and phone lines open all of hour number two at 315-437-7644. We've got our weekly pick segment to get to. Today's business on the docket as well, but we continue the SU Clemson football talk. We've got some over-unders we want to get to.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff here that that we can get to, Steve. A lot of prop bets and over-unders that Jordan, who's out running our Q Sports Talk feed, has put up for us.
All right, we'll get to those in a second, but let's go to the phone lines as we kick off hour number two here. We've got Pat in Syracuse up on the show. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. Real quick take on Clemson. I think they cover the spread and hammer us like there's no tomorrow, and I bring no joy to myself or to anyone listening to say that. It's not a good situation, but I think with the success that Syracuse has had and the mission that Trevor Lawrence is on to win the Heisman and inflate his stats, I think this is a recipe to actually lose by 50. I could be wrong. Stranger things have happened. But if I was putting money on it, I would take Clemson and give up the points because Syracuse is decimated by injuries. The game is on the roll. I mean, you can go on and on and on. But I actually called to talk about Dior Johnson.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I mean, look, I'll just kind of give my bird's eye view of it, kind of instead of drilling in deeper, because I know you guys are in another segment talking SU football. Look, I think you guys did an awesome job in Waters on and kind of going over some of the items, and I think he hit on some. But I also do my own legwork on situations, and Mike's not the only one in town with sources, and I know he doesn't act like he is, so I'm not trying to come across that way. But what I will say is this is a bigger concern, not only where his head is at, but also as a Syracuse diehard fan, you know, this is a difficult situation for the coaches, and they're very intelligent, and I have faith in them, but I also know that in past, they have stuck their neck out for kids and gotten burned. And I just hope that if, look, anybody with that's looking at the situation, what the coaches need to find out, and I'm not saying they're not doing this. I'm just saying my perspective is they need to find out, look, where's your head? You've been out of school since mid-September. You're supposed to be in school. He's not in school. I have a great source that's told me multiple other prep schools have reached out to him. They have no idea where his head's at and what he's doing. And this is from at least two very credible sources. So that's a big concern, number one. Now, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. As long as the staff handles it correctly, if he makes it here or not, this kid has some other – and he's a good kid, too. He's not a bad kid. But I'm saying this is Jerry McNamara's prize recruit, one of the few recruits that Jerry has nailed that could be a high impact right out of the gate contributor. He's had some decent recruits. I'm not bashing Jerry, but I'm just saying this is by far his prize recruit. And if he doesn't show orange, we need to make sure that we can secure JJ Starling or Chance Rustry or Roddy Gale or somebody else. Because if he leaves us standing at the altar, and in 2 years we're talking about how decimated our backcourt is, or whatever the case may be, we need to be out in front of this. And I just think with all this stuff going on with COVID. You know, there's a lot going on, but I'm concerned, and I know Mike's concerned because he has a relationship with Dior, and Dior's not returning his calls. That's not good. There's nothing I like about the situation. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, yes, all of that, Pat. I think it is concerning, the fact that he's gone radio silent, and he obviously can't play basketball currently given the injury, but he can be in school, and the longer he's out of school, that is a concern. From the academic aspect of this whole thing. And, you know, there was some talk, you know, will he reclassify? Will he come a year earlier? I mean, that certainly can't happen if, you know, and we talked with Mike about that the other day, that's just not physically possible, especially if he's not in school. So, yeah, Pat, I mean, there is a lot to be concerned about if you're an SU fan looking at this situation, because you don't know where his head is at. And I've heard the same thing, by the way, about the, you know, multiple prep schools and so on and so forth. And he's just kind of radio silent right now on everyone. And you do wonder what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great, and, you know, it's not a great look. And, I'm curious, you know, I'm curious to know what's going on. Like, let's put that out there. But, you know, Pat mentioned other recruits. J.J. Starling is out there, the Baldwinsville kid. Obviously, you would love to keep a Baldwinsville kid here. And I know he went away to prep school, but he's a Baldwinsville kid, and he's that good. And you would love to keep him here. Chance Westry is a name that I think was very, very close to committing to Syracuse right around when Dior did. And I'm surprised that we haven't heard anything since then. We haven't heard anything since Dior committed about Chance Westry, because right around then I heard that it was pretty close to him coming on board. There's got to be something there, you know. And I'm not saying Pat is jumping on Jerry McNamara, but he brought up Jerry's name, and I think that it's really interesting to look because Jerry has. You know, Jerry hasn't necessarily reeled in the big recruit in what, like Pat said, Dior is the biggest, most prized recruit he's bringing in. I also don't place blame on Jerry if Dior is just going AWOL.
Right.
You know, like, that's not his fault. The same way it's
wasn't Griff's fault.
That's what that's exactly what I was going to say. The same way it's not Alan Griffin's fault that Darius Baisley decided to go to the G League. Like, there are some things that it's not your fault when you lose a recruit.
Quade Green going to Kentucky.
I don't think Quade Green is something that you pin on Jerry McNamara.
No.
Like, there are just certain things that happen with recruits that is not the coach's fault. And I'm not saying that Pat was placing blame on an assistant coach, but if I know the audience, that call is coming at some point. Right? Like, that call and that thought is coming. And so I just kind of want to get out ahead of it. Like, that's not the coach's fault.
To say that Dior Johnson is Jerry's prized recruit, that is factually correct, because he would be anybody's prized recruit. I mean, he's the third-ranked player in the country. So, you know, top recruit to commit to Syracuse or verbally commit to Syracuse since Carmelo Anthony. So, again, that is factually correct. But, no, I don't think you blame Jerry for any of that, and not that Pat was doing that. It is a concerning situation. You know, I think there was already skepticism among a faction of the fan base about whether or not he would ever end up here, you know, given the lure of professional basketball, whether that's the G League or whether that's the NBA, you know, if they change the rule and high school kids can jump straight to the NBA by then. There was already skepticism about whether or not he would come here. Then the injury happens. You know, now he's no longer at Oak Hill. Now he's not talking to anybody. Yeah, I think it is a very concerning situation if you're an SU fan, because you want to know what's going on. And even if everything was fine, even if he was healthy and playing, there would still be concern, I think, among SU fans about will he ever end up here. Now that's, you know, amplified, multiplied by, you know, 10 times.
Yeah, and I understand why it's amplified. It makes sense. He's, you know, he's leaving his prep school again. He's leaving his high school again. It becomes a question mark.
All right, let's take a time out here. We'll kind of reset, and then we'll work our way back into the over-unders with SU football that we were going to get to at the top of the hour before we got that phone call from Pat. So we're back after this. Again, phone lines remain open the rest of the way, 315-437-7644. We'll talk some SU Clemson football on the other side. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Seth Goldberg.
Hour number two of Orange Nation brought to you by Route 34. You pull them, 315-437-7644. If you'd like to get involved in the show, we've got about 45 minutes left on a Friday edition of Orange Nation leading you into the weekend. And as we talked about in the last segment, we're going to get back to our over-under lines that our producer Jordan put together for us. Regarding the Syracuse Clemson game, so what do we have, Seth?
Why don't we start? We'll finish off with the spread and lead into the rest of our picks. I think makes sense. Although I didn't do them last break, so I'll have to go find some bonus picks.
We still have 45 minutes left, so we could always come back and do it in the next segment.
That works. Let's start here. Over under 6 sacks for the Clemson defense.
Ooh. I'm going to say over.
I am too. I have no faith.
I mean, Carolina had 7, right?
Yeah. I got no faith.
7 the following week as well against Pittsburgh. Yeah, I think Clemson's getting to him 7 times.
Over under one interception by the Syracuse defense.
I feel like the line should be at a half or something. So if you get one, at least we're not pushing. I didn't set the lines.
You didn't set the lines. Jordan sets the lines. You don't make the rules, Steve.
I don't. I feel like I'm going to go under.
I am too.
Clean game for Trevor Lawrence.
I am too. I don't see it happening, especially with Andre Sisko off the field. He was really the one that was the magnet to some of these passes. That's not to say that they can't get one off of their backup quarterback, whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce, and who Grace said that name very well. I mean, that just rolled.
Well, it's her job.
I was going to say gracefully, but then almost caught myself before.
Grace said it gracefully.
Yeah, I realized what I was about to say. But yeah, I'm not going to try that one. But I don't think that Syracuse is going to get an interception.
No, I don't think so either.
Over under 3.5 touchdown passes for Trevor Lawrence.
Over.
I will say the same thing.
Didn't he have 5 at halftime last week?
Yeah, they scored 35 points in the second quarter alone.
Yeah, at halftime he had 5. So yes, I think he's going to go over 3.5.
How about over under 299.5 passing yards for Lawrence?
See, that's tough because
I'm going over.
Well, he's not playing the whole game.
He threw for 400.5 last week.
I know.
He threw for 400 in the first half.
I brought this up earlier in the week, though, when we discussed our predictions. You also have to take into account if they're playing with a short field. And I don't know how much Syracuse is going to be able to move the football. And so if SU's punting from its own 20 or 30 a lot, Clemson's going to have really good field position a lot. So I'm actually going to go under on that one.
You're going to go under?
I am.
Okay. Somebody texted me this stat, and so I want to just pass it along. Trevor Lawrence has thrown for 1,544 yards this season, right? Passing yards alone. Syracuse offensively has 1,588 yards this season.
That sounds about right.
Think about that for a second.
Wow. That's eye-popping. I think Clemson's going to run the ball quite a bit as well. So, between all of those factors, he's not going to play the whole game. I do think they're going to run the ball a lot, and I think they're going to have good field position throughout much of the game. I stand by my decision to go under on Lawrence and 300 passing yards.
Higher total, Travis Etienne rushing yards or Rex Culpepper passing yards?
Say it again.
Higher total, Rex passing yards or Etienne rushing yards?
That's a good one, Jordan. I'm going to say, this is tough.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Rex because I think that
they're going to be behind the whole game passing.
I think that he's going to be throwing a lot more than Etienne is running. So Etienne might have comparable numbers and will almost certainly have a higher yards per attempt. But I think that Syracuse is going to be throwing a lot, and they don't have anybody to put in behind him. Travis Etienne is going to run wild probably the entire first half, and then they're going to have to go put somebody else in. I don't think that Syracuse is going to put anybody in behind Rex because they don't have anybody to put in behind
Rex. Here's the thing, though. So if Etienne rushes for, like, 175, or, let's say he gets close to 200 yards, do you really think Rex is throwing for 200 yards against Clemson? 200 yards.
I mean, if you throw it enough times.
Huh. My gut says ETN. And I know that that's not the smart pick. I feel like this is one of those that I should get more money if I win than you get if you win.
You get a pick and a half if you win this one?
My gut says ETN.
Okay.
On that one.
Sean Tucker rushing yards over under 65.5.
Under.
Yep, I'm going under too.
I think like I said earlier, I think around 50 would be a good game for him.
I think 65.5 would be a very good game.
Would be
for him.
Very good, yeah.
Last one I got for you. Over under 96 receiving yards for Tosh Harris.
I mean, I think he's the one guy that can have some success.
Can I give you some context here?
Sure.
96 yards is the most that Clemson has given up to a receiver this season.
Yeah. Isn't that right around Taj's average, too? Isn't he right around like 92 or something?
Something like that, yes.
So is he going to have a better than average game against Clemson?
Against the
probably
best defense
not.
In the country. Yeah, so I'm going under.
I'll go under as well. That was good, though. Jordan did a nice job.
He did throw a couple others out here as quote-unquote wild card props, he says. Over under 2.5 Clemson players to complete a pass. I'll say over.
So will they get to their third string quarterback?
They did. They had four last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go over as well.
This isn't fun. We're agreeing on almost all of these. Receptions by a Syracuse tight end, over under 2. They have 6 total combined this year. That's so sad. Can we just spend a minute on that? That's so sad. They have 6. They have 6 combined receptions, and they're both legitimately good receivers.
I'm going to go over tomorrow.
You're going to go over?
I'm going to go over.
What, you think they're just going to dump it down
dump
to
it
him?
Dump it down to him, yeah.
I'll go under. That's it.
That's it. Okay. And I guess the big one, and this will lead into our pick segment after the break, but why don't we go ahead and pick Syracuse-Clemson here. So what line are we going with? I've seen 46, 46 and a half. What do you want to go with?
Let's toss the half.
All right.
So 46 and a half.
46 and a half. And you're going over, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm picking Clemson.
Okay. I'm not.
Yes, I'm picking Clemson.
I'm going under. I'm going to go with I told you, I saw 3 computer simulations. They all had Clemson winning between 34 and 40 points. I'm going with the computers.
I'm going with my head.
Syracuse stays within 46 points. Can't believe I'm picking
That's
Syracuse.
That's unbelievable.
But I am. I'm going with the computers.
I think that they're going to lose, and they're going to lose really ugly. I think it's going to be... It's going to be one of those games that you look back at for a long, long time. I mean, could it be like a 66-3?
Yeah, it could be.
Like I think it could look like that.
I think it could as well.
I don't see them scoring a touchdown, and I see Clemson being able to do whatever they want offensively. Like they'll name their score. If they don't cover the 46 and a half, it's because they don't really want to.
Could it be 55-10? I mean, that's a reasonable score, and that covers.
No, I don't know. Where's the Syracuse touchdown?
Again, it's coming against the third-string defense, second-string defense.
It's Taj Harris beating the third-string corner?
Maybe. Again, Syracuse most likely. I mean, again, I don't know this to be fact. I mean, I guess we're going to have to see how the game goes tomorrow, but I assume that Syracuse will keep the starters in.
Of course. What are they going to do? They don't have the depth to not keep the starters in.
Right, but I'm saying, you know, even just to guard against injury, like, you know, oh, we're losing by 45, so Taj better come out of the game. I think they're just,
no.
I think they're playing their best players, you know, for a majority of the game.
They have to.
Maybe with the exception of, like, the last drive or something.
They have to.
So
they don't.
That's where the touchdown comes in. It comes
in.
They
don't have the bodies to not do that.
It comes in, like, early fourth quarter when they're down, you know, 38 points.
That's where depth is going to show itself the most. Like, that's where it's going to be the most sad that they don't have the depth, right? And where you're going to notice it. You're going to notice that Clemson's got their third and fourth stringers in, and Syracuse is still trotting out Michael Jones and Taj Harris and Garrett Williams and Rex Culpepper and Sean Tucker because they just don't have the bodies right now to go and put backups in.
I love Grace's answer to my question, by the way, will she learn anything about Clemson tomorrow? And she went right to the second and third string. I mean, Syracuse fans are talking about the second and third string guys as their starters. Clemson's worried about like how they're going to look in the third and fourth quarter when they're up by 45 points.
Well, and you wonder how Clemson just reloads every year. It's because they play 4 games a year like this one.
Yeah.
Well, more than 4 because, you know, they normally might get like a 2 in the non-conference plus the Syracuse.
They might play
Georgia
11
Tech.
Games like this in the regular season. Yeah.
They might do this at Notre Dame Stadium.
Notre Dame
is ranked 3rd right now, and that game could be a 3-score game.
Yeah. I mean, look what they did to Miami. Miami was considered a top 10 team. I know not everybody's playing, but man, this Clemson team is legit.
The hype around that Notre Dame Clemson game is going to be disgusting. Like, it's just going to be awful.
And it might not even be a good game.
Right. But it's going to be gross because you know what? If Notre Dame's ever halfway decent, they become a top 5 team.
Right. Because they're Notre Dame. They've got the tradition behind them. I loved Grace's answer, though. I said, are you going to learn anything? Well, you know, well, that third string
we wanna see
outside
DJ.
Linebacker.
We want to see DJ if he can do some things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it was a hard question. She handled it well. It's just funny that that's where she goes, you know, developing depth.
Good answer.
Third string. All right. So we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get into our pick segment. We may have to combine picks with today's business since we're
we can do that.
We're starting to run out of time with the show. We got about a half hour left. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.